Hey everyone, it's Ariel Helwani.
And I'm Chuck Mindenhall.
And I'm PT Carroll, and together we are 3-Pack.
Join us on the brand new Spotify Live app immediately after all of the biggest fights in combat sports.
And also during the weigh-ins, because that's when the real drama happens.
So what are you waiting for? Follow the Ringer MMA show right now on our exclusive Spotify podcast feed.
And come join the best community in MMA.
Peace! We're out of here.
This episode of the Ringer NFL show is presented by State Farm. Create an affordable price just for you when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
To a special Saturday edition of the Ringer NFL Recap Show. I'm Nora Princiati. I'm here with Benjamin Solak. We just watched the Bills beat the Dolphins 32-29. Absolutely instant classic snow game. So we decided that we would hop on the mic to break it all down because this was one of the best games of the year. Before we start, pelting me with a snowball during this podcast is a 15-yard penalty. Okay? Do you accept the ground rules?
No, I don't. I thought that was soft. We used to be a country, all right? We used to be a people where you could throw snowballs during football games. And the only thing that would happen is you would hit Santa and have it held against your city for like 65 years. That was it. Now we're going to throw flags? Unbelievable.
I'm with this, actually. I made the joke to start the pod, but I'm with you on this one. The idea, first of all, seeing all of these people like tweeting during the game about... people got to stop throwing snowballs. First of all, no, they don't. It's fun. Second of all, refs throw a flag and they'll stop throwing snowballs real quickly. I'm sorry. How many drunk football fans have you been around in your lives?
I love that. Why are they throwing snowballs? Because they're drunk Buffaloans welcoming back a team that beat them in week 3 in 120-degree weather. And they've been anticipating this snowstorm and this matchup for like 2.5 months. I'll
it's
throw a snowball at my wife
outside.
For no reason. You don't need a single reason to throw a snowball. The whole thing's got like 19 reasons.
Also, I'm soft. Like, I am a soft, whiny person. And generally very amenable to arguments based on, like, someone could get hurt. They're wearing helmets. Okay? I get that there's ice in snowballs. I'm a baby if someone throws a snowball at me. If I'm wearing a big helmet, it's fine. Everybody calm down.
Which,
we live in a society.
Which, right, if they are like, hey, like, we have to protect the camera people, we have to protect, like, the staff on the sidelines, like, stray snowballs are hitting, like, you know, sound employees, like, great, that's awesome. I just love the fact that it's a 15-yard penalty against the Bills. Like, hey, the fans here, the majority of which are obviously yours, but maybe some guys who aren't, are endangering NFL employees. 15-yard penalty on you guys for living here and not building a dome. If I were a Dolphins fan, I would have made immediately 10
snowballs. You start packing them. Yeah. You're like reaching underneath other people's seats to grab whatever's left.
Every single Dolphins offensive third down, I'm beaning Trent Sherfield. I'm just hammering Mike Gesicki. just straight at him the whole play. On the sideline, I'm finding... Matt Hawk, find the punter. He's going to town.
This one's for you.
And we're getting a 15-yard penalty because they're assuming there's some Buffalo fan that doesn't understand down and distance and is just throwing snowballs at the least opportune time.
And you got to like fake the accent, get really into character. This one's from Lackawanna. Just beating somebody in the face.
It was just so funny because the entire saga of Snowballgate was like, all right, Twitter is massively overreacting to a thing that they're just perceiving as a third party from the comfort of their homes far away. And then the game stopped. And I was like, there's no way. I put the volume like further up on my TV as if I misheard what they said. Like, there's no way. I started clicking it up. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, great football game.
Great football game. This game was absolutely awesome. Bills win. Josh Allen, absolutely spectacular game. Goes 25 for 40, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns. Also had 77 yards on 10 carries on the ground. I ended up, my biggest takeaway from this game is that I feel better about both of these teams after watching it than I did from the beginning. With the Bills, that has a lot to do with Josh Allen. I just thought he played a spectacular game. He's running it so well, obviously. He's so dynamic. But we've seen him for the past several weeks be a little bit shakier with some of the passing than when he was really lighting the world on fire earlier in the season. I really felt like this was a game that I was hoping and waiting to see from Josh Allen just to feel like, oh, he's still got it. What did you think?
Yeah, no, he's still a velociraptor, right? It's still just like a big guy who can run. The Dolphins went to a spot where they started playing more man coverage in the second half, which, ballsy. I respect it. This young man they found, Josh Kahua, I apologize if I pronounced the last name, but like, I thought the injuries at corner were going to sink the Dolphins the way they play defense. They both have changed to play more zone, and they've also gotten great play out of him. Noah Igbinoghene's played better, so they started playing more man coverage. Stephon Diggs fell quiet, right? The Bills were having that difficult third quarter. Diggs on the sideline telling everybody, well, listen, give me the ball. It felt like the Bills' offense fell into that rut that was becoming familiar, like you said. I've been a little bearish on the Bills as an AFC contender for last few weeks because I'm like, this offense is hot and cold. Like it requires Allen heroics. Well, then in the fourth quarter, you're down 8 points. You know, you get a strip sack and you give up a huge lead, a massive swing, and Allen just comes right back and just wills them to win. That man coverage suddenly becomes scramble looks, right? It becomes screw around behind line of scrimmage, find guy Gabe Davis out of structure, and then get downfield and break a tackle, right? He's got that. When he scrambles, he's more dangerous than Mahomes, right? And when you look at it in terms of efficiency numbers, first downs generated per scramble, especially on third and fourth down, EPA numbers, he's the most effective scrambler in the league. He doesn't do it as much as Jalen Hurts, doesn't do it as much as Justin Fields. But in terms of converting to a new set of downs and generating positive EPA, when Josh Allen talks, there's nobody better. And he did that several times over the course of this game. And then obviously, his complete lack of concern for his own life, as exhibited by the 2-point conversion, which is like, brother.
His own life, common decency, possession of the football.
I'm with you on I feel better about Josh Allen. The Bills for me are still like, it's always something with this team. They struggle to play a comprehensive game of football against good opponents. There's always like stretches where the defense is in control, but the offense can't get the pants on straight. And then the offense finally figures it out, but the defense starts giving stuff up. And then there's some special teams issue that occurs in the middle of it, right? Like this entire game, they end up winning 32-29, but they face an offense that got quite well handled over the course of the last 2 weeks. And they walked out and were not able to stop them. And the absence of Von Miller has not even remotely been as strongly felt as it was in this game, where every third down, they're sending a linebacker and they're stunning a line and they're sending a nickel and they're dropping a guy off the line and they're trying to find a way to generate a pass rush. And for most of the game, Tua's just ball out in 2.5 seconds, 25 yards down the field, same way he had for most of the season. And that for the Bills' defense is disappointing. Obviously, Bond's a star, but you lost him and Tre'Davious White is not all the way back. They went hunting for Tre'Davious White. I don't want Kyrie Elam. Teron Johnson, they're pressing, they're playing physical. They went hunting for Tre'Davious White, the Dolphins offense did in this game. And Tre'Davious White struggled to answer the call. This is a Bills defense without stars right now. Jordan Poyer, great player. But this is a Bills defense without stars right now. And they were exposed a little bit in this game. So it's always something with this team where I can always find a way to talk myself out of them.
They were pressing a certain amount, and it's always hard to tell off the TV copy. So with that caveat, were you surprised it didn't feel like they were taking more from the, I'm not going to use the B word, but the 49ers, what the 49ers and Chargers games had given us in terms of instruction about how to shut down this Miami offense or at least slow it down?
Yeah. So this is one of the reasons why the blueprint conversation always falls short, not just like the Dolphins offense, but in general, like just in any capacity. And I'm like, perpetrator number one of this, because you just got to say blueprint and then go as fast as you can to get your point across on the podcast.
I didn't say
right?
it. I alluded to it because that's a loophole.
Yeah. Very clever. But one of the reasons why like Blueprint doesn't work is because we as football analysts, consumers, watchers, discussers, and debaters talk about big dials. Play more man. Take the man coverage dial. It's the opposite of the zone coverage dial. And there's only two of them. And spin it really high up. You did it. The Blueprint, right? And that's how we talk about it. We talk about things in big pictures and broad strokes. When a coach is installing a game plan, he doesn't do it in big strokes. He does it in extremely minute details. So you said the Bills pressed quite a bit, and they did. But the way Tre'Davious White was playing press coverage is not the way you have to play press coverage against this team. Tre'Davious White was playing, I'm going to play responsible press coverage. I'm going to mirror off the line. I'm going to adjust him off of his route just a little bit. The press coverage you play against the Dolphins is Russian roulette press coverage. Exactly. It's YOLO. It's, I'm going to shove this man as hard as I can. And if I miss, I'm going to give him a touchdown. But if I get him, it's a sack. Tre'Davious White thought, well, if I just, you know, mirror it and, you know, just a little kick step and like, you know, make sure I've got my read correct, everything, then I'll stick with Tre'Davious White and Jalen Waddle. And he never did for the entire game. Right. So there's, we talk about the big dials. We talk about blueprints, press coverage. What failed the Bills in this game were the little dials, were the little switches, the tiny adjustments, the way Tre'Davious White is playing press coverage. On the Jalen Waddle catch and run, I wish they'd given more replays. It looks like a very interesting play. But Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, the second level of the linebackers, are both standing over Jalen Waddle to his side of the field, and they're pointing at Jordan Poyer, and they're like, he's coming
right,
that way. He's going to go through us to you. We are giving him to you. Him past me to you. And then Jordan Poyer comes screaming downhill and nobody picks up Jalen Waddle. And that's the little dials. That's okay. Like the Chargers played a ton of cover two, cover six, like stuff that's been good for them. And the Bills played that too. But if you miscommunicate on one route concept, if you misunderstand, I'm passing this off, I'm not passing this off. The Dolphins don't just get a 20-yard gain. They don't just get, oh, 25 yards, pick up first down. When you miscommunicate in the second level against the Dolphins, the ball gets to one of Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill, or even as we saw against the Niners, Trent Sherfield in stride. Once it does, good night. Go home. It's not only a new set of downs. It's 67-yard touchdown. And that's why mistakes against this Dolphins team, errors in the little dials, matter so much more than mistakes against other teams because they punish you the worst way.
Some of those are defensive errors by Buffalo. I also think some of that is a credit to Miami. The reason I feel better about the Dolphins right now than I did at the start of this game after having seen how they looked against San Francisco and against the Chargers is because I think we saw Mike McDaniel kind of throw his first counterpunch. And obviously they don't win the game, right? But a lot of the stuff they did in the run game, we should talk about because I thought that was really interesting. But we also saw them dial up some beaters for those coverages, right? Like the first time they take a lead in this game, obviously they don't keep it, but they go up 26-21 on that touchdown to Tyreek Hill. And that play is a play designed to beat press man. And now that's a play where they're going after Tre'Davious White, right? And he's doing exactly what you just described, where he's playing kind of, he's pressing Tyreek a little bit. He's touching him. He's getting some hands on him, but he's not going for it. He's not committing all the way. So you have a little bit of just how Tyreek is choosing to act on that play. But that's Mike McDaniel. And I think they were looking for that specific situation and that specific coverage. That's Mike McDaniel looking for a situation saying, okay, I went back to the whiteboard and came up with some ideas and put together a list, put together a play sheet of stuff that I think can beat this. And to see him do that, it's not surprising that he's able to do that to me because we think he's a really good coach. From everything we've seen, he's a really good coach. But that was what they needed to do. That was what we were looking for. And I think even though they didn't win the game, I came away from this feeling like, okay, yeah. They know what they're going to see for the last month of the season. They know what they're going to see in the playoffs. They know what their opponents can look at on film and go, that had a pretty decent shot at slowing down Miami. And they're coming up with stuff that has a decent shot of fixing it. So I thought that was super encouraging.
Yeah, again, big dials. But the willingness of the team to run the football early was such a big deal for the way that this offense worked. And critically, how they ran it, right? They handed the football off. All motion, RPO, jet touch, run. They just called a run. They called a first down run where the entire offensive line knew they were run blocking. They could go downfield.
From under center.
Yep. Under center, which their under center rates got massively up over the course of the last week and a half. They got Durham Smythe on the field. Durham, go block for us, right? I was like, Mike Gesicki's killing it tonight. And then like a quarter and a half in, I realized that's not Mike Gesicki.
Not Mike Gesicki.
That's Durham Smythe. They got a blocking tight end in there now. Mark Sanchez, who did a really nice job, I think, calling the offenses of both teams are in the game, was calling that out in terms of this is first and 10. They're just going to hand the ball to Raheem Mostert. And Raheem, to his credit, was the starting back for this team, won the job over Chase Edmonds, a little bit banged up. Then they traded for Jeff Wilson. Wilson's incredible. Like, his job's kind of been up and down, whatever. Ran extremely tough tonight. We obviously had the big long run, the broke tackles. The Bills are a penetration front. They want to get to you right when you get the ball, get you behind the line of scrimmage. He turned negative gains into positive gains, which it helps keep you ahead of the sticks, number one. The Dolphins actually weren't really great at, like, doing the first and 10, second and six, third and two offense, because so many of those third and two quick passing game instances were pass breakups. The Bills were driving downhill on those out routes. But when they were successful, like the first touchdown drive they had in the second quarter, they converted a third and four, a third and five, and a third and 10. And it was just run, run, pass, run, run, pass, run, run, pass.
Right.
And at the very least, it establishes play action for you. It establishes the threat of it. And EPA-wise, it was more valuable to them. They were a better team in this game in terms of EPA per play on rush attempts than they were on passing attempts. And that's to the point of your running attack taking advantage of a defense that is selling out, that is dedicating so many numbers to taking away your passing game. So you've used the threat of the pass over the course of the last 3 months to now establish the opportunity to run the football. Worked very well. Awesome stuff. Mike McDaniel designs his things. It's just you end up losing a 3-point game. But that is a huge note for the Dolphins, which is that, all right, if you're going to try to play all out, everybody's in the middle of the field, we're worried about RPOs, you're not rushing the edges because you want them to stop the tight ends on play action. If you're going to dedicate all these guys to stopping the pass, we are willing to call a first and 10 handoff. And we can pick up 5 or 6 yards, and that's going to be good for us. It's a very, very big deal for the team.
7.5 yards per carry for the Dolphins in this game, particularly a lot of success running behind the right side of the line, running to the right. It's funny, they looked a little bit more like the Dolphins offense that I think if I'd drawn in my mind's eye in August, what's right. This going to look like?
It's a great way of saying
this
it,
is so much more like it than it was for the largest chunks of the season that formed sort of what we think of this offense and what we think of what it is. But if that's what they need to do now, very good to see them do it.
Yeah. I just wish we had gotten another quarter of snow football. I just really we just didn't get enough to the Dolphins in the running game and Josh Allen, everything. We just got a taste of it. 9 minutes. I needed more.
It was beautiful.
It was. Were you feeling a little romantic? I was feeling a little romantic.
I was so in my feels, Ben. Just so in my feels. The Buffalo gets a good defensive series. Dolphins go 3 and out. But then Jalen Phillips has that strip sack of Josh Allen. Defense comes back, does its job. Bills get the ball back again. Josh Allen breaks off that 44-yard run. Gets him to the red zone. Bills they've punted on their last, four drives at that point. But Josh Allen takes it with his legs, gets them into the red zone, runs it again, gets the call for the late hit going out of bounds, which looks like he sold it a little bit. And as the snow begins to fall,
the timing.
There's some scrappiness on the sideline. Like we've just seen the quarterback. He's running it all the way down the field. It's just like, how can you not be romantic about snow football? And then they hit the touchdown to Dawson Knox. And
Josh Allen does his spear diving 2-point conversion. And then they chase the ball 35 yards down the field.
I want, we call this a snow globe game, right? I want that in a snow globe. I want just a little ball of glass with white glitter on the inside that I can shake up. And
we know
what
a snow globe is. I appreciate the breakdown, but yeah, I was already with you on most of that information.
Try to be cinematic, Ben. It's romantic. It's snowing. It's beautiful. There's ambiance. I want the landscape inside the snow globe. I just want it to be Josh Allen, extending the ball across the plane, just barely across the plane, and then losing it and having it bounce all over the place. Just the silliest, one of the silliest trajectories I've ever seen a football take. The football, a very silly object, an object prone to extreme silliness, just putting on an absolute show of ridiculousness in that moment with the flakes coming down in Orchard Park. Really, really special stuff.
It really, truly did feel like the, you know, Western New York lake effect snow, right? All just heard. They like saw the scoreboard. They saw the Jalen Phillips fumble recovery. They saw the 8-point lead and said, like, all right, the Bills need us. Like, we as one must rise. And then like the snow and the wind and just everybody singing. Let it snow. I think they're singing. Yeah. Let it snow. Yes. We're just like,
yes.
It was one of those, the Dolphins
the
are
carolers.
Losing. This. Yeah. It was one of those, the Dolphins are losing this game, aren't they? Like, this is very sad for them. They played very well. It's tough. However, once like the fourth quarter snow starts and all the psycho Buffaloans begin chanting their war song, their battle cry. Yeah. Sorry. The game's over.
Did you see Tyler Bass, the Bills kicker who hit the game winning field goal afterwards? He just like chest slides
the penguin
down
slide.
The
penguin slide. Yes.
The penguin slide. Yeah.
Of course. How did you feel about playing for the field goal over the touchdown?
It was a weird, it was...
Okay, because I, you know, disclosure, I was on Bills -7 in this game. So in my head, I was like, you obviously can't trust a field goal in this instance, but I was very financially motivated for a touchdown. But I, like, if I think, like, because they're in Buffalo, they probably spent the week thinking about and repping what, like, snow field goal attempt conditions were going to look like. Yeah. They seemed like a very well-oiled snow clearing machine, just all the offensive linemen and everything. But still, like, I don't know, that scares me. I just have visions of Tyler Bass slipping and falling on his butt, and we're going to overtime.
I think that's right. And I think that's the right way for them to process it. And if they worked on it and practiced it and were ready for it, like, whatever. As a viewer, the opposite, like, the things that you're saying should have made them confident in the decision made me nervous. Like, at first, Singletary goes down and it becomes clear that that's the decision that they're making. And I'm kind of like, okay, this is a little weird. I don't know if I like this, but okay. Like, it's a really easy field goal. Fine. I'm sure the numbers probably work out where that's the right call. I guess, blah, 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 blah. As soon as I see like six Buffalo Bills just scraping snow off the turf with their hands, that was when I started to be like, oh, I don't like this. This is bad. You're doing the hand shovels?
They knew their rules. Well, they knew their rules. You are not allowed to bring out an implement, right? It's a penalty if you try to like use a towel. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is they clearly had a meeting, right? Special teams meeting, whatever the frick you do special teams meeting in the week. I have no idea. But they brought the line in and they were like, fellas, make sure you grab your towels to clean off the snow. And then like some yuppie sixth rounder was like, you can't do that. It's not in the rule book. And the special teams coordinator was like, great job. That it was a trick question. Use your hands, son. But they knew they were done. And it went off great. And they got very close. But like when they were, you know, taking it down to the 2-minute warning, they had yet to get the pass interference call. If they don't get that pass interference call, there's a chance they're attempting like a 40 something yarder. And that to me feels, oh, I would have liked to have taken a couple more aggressive shots downfield before I went to make a 40-yard field goal in those conditions.
Not ideal. Is a snowball a successful snowball if it doesn't survive the ground?
I mean, if there's enough snow, no snowball surviving the ground. It's becoming the ground. It's just consumed into the existing snow.
Is a snowball a catch? Is essentially what I think I'm asking.
The one that hit the back of the cameraman after the Quinton Morris touchdown and like firmly exploded like in the center of the screen. Not a catch. Very clearly did not survive contact.
Got to go to New York for review on that one. All right. Anything else from this game? We're going to each do one take from Vikings Colts before we call it an evening. But anything to extend our ability to luxuriate in this fabulous game for just a minute longer, Ben?
The number one question that Mayor asked me watching it with me was why the Dolphins coaches were in hoodies. And I had to explain like, well, you can't show up wearing the big coat because then you're not a man. So you have to wear six thermal layers and then the hoodie on top. The entire Dolphins coaching staff was in hoodies. Wasn't a single big coat to be found. All right. And then the Bills coaching staff obviously also not in the big coat because you're expecting this from the Dolphins and you have to count. You can't be showing up with a big coat to your own home stadium. No fluffy
Sean
coats.
Sean McDermott wears a puffer, though. He wears a big puffer. I didn't catch what he was wearing in this. It didn't.
That's why it didn't first come my mind. Is I was like, is Sean wearing the big coat? And I feel like he wasn't.
But he doesn't wear the big coat. He wears just like a big puffer. It's not long, but it's probably warm. I have a coat like that, and it's very warm.
When I say big coat, yeah, I just mean the puffy thing. I don't know the terminology here. I own like one coat.
So McDermott wasn't wearing the puffer?
I don't think so, no. I'm pretty sure he was just hooded up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's mind games.
Yeah, it's a long chess match in the media this week. So anyway,
that is Dalton mind games, because McDermott's in the puffer when it's, you know, 40.
That's what I'm saying.
Balmy out there.
Yeah. I think it was just well, they're going to act like it's not that cold, and we're going to act like it's not that cold, so on and so forth and so on.
I hate to end this discussion, this game on a bummer note, but the Bills lost center Mitch Morse in the middle of this one with a concussion. He has a long and scary history of concussion. So first of all, I hope that is as okay as it can be. His leaving the game was followed by a sequence where they have Questenberry come in at guard and Van Roten slid over to the center position. Offensive line gets penalized on three straight snaps. So first of all, Mitch Morse is probably the strongest link on that offensive line as it is. And second of all, at least initially, when he went out, things weren't looking so great on the offensive line there. I am very much with this Bills team. Like, I think I'd just been so preoccupied with is Allen missing a little bit of what makes him because the elbow might be hurting. I just felt like the short and intermediate accuracy had taken a bit of a dip following that injury. I think I felt much better about them, maybe much as strong, but better about them after this game because I just felt like, oh, that's Josh Allen doing Josh Allen stuff again. And I do think that that's ultimately just the most important thing for them. But to your point about how it's just always something, that is definitely something that bears watching. And then additionally, just, you know, hope Mitch is okay. Because that's scary anytime those things start to pile up.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The Bills took their little setup, the field goal snap, which they may have wanted a couple extra yards away from the uprights just to give a little more visibility, but they took it out of the gun, right? And as we recall, against the Vikings, they were trying to take some snaps under center, and those snaps were not going well. And so they
went about as badly as it possibly could have.
Their backup center situation seems extremely untrustworthy under center, which seems like a small thing, isn't a small thing. If I know you're 100% gun when Mitch Morse is around, or at least like 99% gun, makes my defense easier. And so the operation, center to quarterback, easy to look over. But yeah, Mitch Morse is one of the ones in the league that really, really matters because the Bills' backup situation, dire.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. Think about all the stuff you can do now on Sundays after the Super Bowl's over. Adventurous activities. You need a Hyundai to get you there. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped for any adventure. With features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time and the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the golden collection at UGG.com.
All right. I said that we would go each give a take from Vikings, Colts, and then wanted to keep talking about Dolphins Bills because it was just such a delight. But let's do it before we head out. Give me one take from this ridiculous Vikings Colts game where the Colts blew a 33-0 lead at halftime. The Vikings end up winning 39-36 in overtime.
I'm officially zagging. Ready for the zag? Zag's coming.
Ready for the zag. Lay it on us.
The Vikings are contenders. They're legit Super Bowl contenders now. I buy it. Because if you're going to win this game, you can win any game. I mean, like, you can't, like, we can't, like, we, the whole time, man. We feel like the Vikings are bad. They're not real. They're not good. And they go down 33-0 to the Colts. And then they win. So now you can win. Once you win a game you are trailing by 33, you have to be considered a legitimate team to win every game that you play for the rest of time. I mean, I don't, they, like, they didn't even do it with Justin Jefferson. Like, KJ Osborne. They got, this Vikings team has won games on Josh Bell's pick with 17 seconds left against the Lions, a Cam Dantzler forced fumble with a minute 12 left against the Bears, the Josh Allen sneak fumble, 41 seconds left, previously discussed, and then a Cam Bynum interception against the Jets with 16 seconds left. And then in this game, obviously, like, the refs couldn't have possibly have bungled the whole operation more. I guess they could have. The one thing they got right was the fumble recovery of Chandon Sullivan to give them the football back with, like, whatever it was, 3 seconds left. I can't remember. I'm done doubting the Vikings team. They are now physically capable of winning every single game they play for the rest of time, and that, by default, makes them Super Bowl contenders. Congratulations.
We need to stop analyzing the Vikings. The Vikings are post-analysis.
I'm done working. I have no more thoughts. They can win it all.
No more stats, just lols. The Minnesota Vikings story. That's it. That's what I got. It's a funny group of people. Kirk Cousins, very funny football player. Yep. That's what I got.
They traded for TJ Hockenson. He can't stop making bad plays in low leverage situations or high leverage situations, excuse me. And it still is like, keep chucking it to him. The amount of drives they had, or series they had, were like the first and 10, they targeted Adam Thielen. And then second and 10, they targeted TJ Hockenson. And then third and 10 was just Kirk staring at Justin Jefferson, pumping. Like, guys, you can do this on first down. They're exhausting to watch.
I disagree with the last statement. They're pure comedy. Nothing is, like, I feel like they announced who was winning the Mark Twain Prize a couple days ago, but I want it redacted. I want it to go to the Minnesota Vikings. They're the funniest thing on television this year. I love them very much. I want them to win the Super Bowl.
Once we got about 5 minutes left in the Bills game, I was thinking to myself, I was like, I'm so exhausted right now. Like, why am I so tired? Like, usually I love this. I live for this. Edge of my seat. Why am I just burnt? And then I realized what Minnesota Indianapolis did to me, and that I had not yet recovered. I wasn't ready for another one of these fourth quarters. But yeah, like, there's jokingness to it, but also, like, Minnesota's got some, like, we've been down here before and we know the way out ism to them, which, like, doesn't fully explain a 33-point cover behind victory because it's never happened before. But in general, like, Minnesota is not as good as Dallas, not as good as San Francisco, not as good as Philadelphia. But if it's the fourth quarter and they're down 10, they're going to be like, yeah, sure.
We've seen, like, some things.
Right. Yeah, like, they're not going to not behave. They're like, yeah, we're just Justin Jefferson time. Like, we've done this before, man. So, sure. Like, once you get to the playoffs, wipe the slate clean. And Minnesota is getting to the playoffs. And they have played some weird games, and they're going to keep playing some.
So you said there'd never been a 33-point comeback before. My take for you has a little something to do with that. First of all, there had never been a 33-point comeback before. However, there had been a 32-point comeback. That was done by Buffalo Bills backup quarterback Frank Reich.
Heard of him.
In the 1992 AFC wild card round against the Houston Oilers. Legendary comeback, largest comeback in NFL history. Jeff Saturday has taken everything from this man. He's taken everything from Frank Reich. What he had left was his record, and now it's gone because the Jeff Saturday Colts blew this game. Most notably, my real take here is that if Jeff Irsay, I can't do names anymore, Jim Irsay wanted to screw around and make his interim head coach his permanent head coach at some point, I think this is going to be the reason that he just can't get away with that.
Yeah, it's a little tough once you have this game.
it is a little tough. And that is probably, look, from all I know, Jeff Saturday is a really good guy and a really nice guy. But this seems like a goofy thing that an owner decided to do. And sometimes NFL owners need reining in. And if it takes an absolutely absurd football game to make that happen, that's probably for the betterment of the Indianapolis Colts in the long run. And I think that happened at the exact moment when he could have kicked. Probably would have been a 53-50-yard field goal to go up 11, 2:31 to play. Opts to go for it. Now, that's okay. I'm not horrifically mad about the decision.
At this
time,
we should note Chase McLaughlin is 5 for 5 with a long of 52 in a dome on the day.
Correct.
So, correct. You know, the kicker's been good.
The kicker's been kicking. Barely kicking is 37-year-old Matt Ryan, with whom Jeff Saturday elects to run the saddest quarterback sneak basically ever seen.
He said after the game, we liked our matchup. What's the matchup on a QB?
Is it matchup, man?
Yeah. It, like, if you say like alignment, then I get it. It's like we like the space we have, which the Vikings had it pretty nicely bottled up, but like alignment, I get it. There's space for it. Matchup implies like our center against their nose. Is that the matchup? What's the matchup? Matt Ryan versus a linebacker?
Right, Matt Ryan versus a linebacker is your other option. So it better be the center versus the nose, because otherwise, lest we investigate, the secondary option is an answer to that question. It is, again, I will say for the third time in the last 2 minutes, 37-year-old Matt Ryan just fighting to stay alive. They obviously didn't get it. Dalvin Cook takes a little dump off from Kirk, 64 yards for a touchdown on the next play, and the game is the game. Well, the rest is history. What are you going to say?
At what point in the Colts-Vikings game did the first memory of Falcons-Patriots come to Matt Ryan's mind? If I knew he wouldn't be upset, I would ask him this question. I would call him right away, like, Matt, I'm just wondering, was it at 33-7? When the Vikings scored their first points of the game halfway through the third quarter to make it a 26-point game, that you were like, 26 kind of close to 25. Just when was the first moment? I think it's probably like you get a little bit closer. Like, once it's 36-21, you're like, oh, if we gave this up, it'd be as bad as, oh man, what's another time someone's giving up? Oh, no. I just want to know when the thought first crossed his mind.
That's hysterical. That's an incredible question. That is so emotionally devastating.
However, Matt Ryan is a very lovely man. I would not ask that to him. But somebody who personally knows him, please ask him and then get back to me.
Kindly. Ask him kindly, yeah. But get the answer so that we can make jokes.
After an appropriate period of waiting and mourning, obviously.
With time to heal. All right, Ben, thank you so much. What a delightful day of football and a delightful opportunity to break it all down with you. This has been the Ringer NFL Saturday recap show. We will be back tomorrow with our usual Sunday NFL recap show. That's me, that's Ben, that's Stephen Ruiz. Thank you to Eduardo Ocampo for production on this episode, with additional production supervision by Arjuna Rangapal.